Oh, we just finished up the series God as a Friend, and just how powerful that is. And I'm moving into something else, but everything still ties to God as a friend. Friend, father, savior, the friend that sticks closer than the brother. All of these things have a weight, even as Lord and Savior. I am really coming to the realization that knowing God as my friend is helping me to be better, as to know God in other ways. In other words, as long as I thought of God as the punisher, the judger, the, all the other things that we make God, even though I would say he was the love of my soul and all that stuff. I guess what I'm trying to say, let me put it like this. First position, God affects everything else. Does that make sense what I just said? So that means if I see God as my judge and the one who is critical of me and the one who finds fault in me and looks for the opportunity to judge me, putting all these other things underneath. Yeah, they have very little weight. The thing in first position is the thing that I default to. So I'll give you an example. So you're walking through life and you're doing what God has called you to do the best you can, and something goes wrong. And the first thing you say is, well, I don't know what I did to displease God or why he's judging me. So immediately the lover of your soul, the friend that sticks close to the brother, all of that disappears in that moment because you go to the default, which is God is judge and jury and accuser and punisher. If I see God as my friend and things go wrong, my first reaction is, friend, where are you? And what do I need to do that I'm hearing your direction? Savior, I expect him to save me. Something goes wrong. Healer, I expect him to heal. So the thing in first position has a lot of strength. And for a lot of us, the thing in first position is God as judge. Is that fair enough to say? God as parent. And not necessarily even a good parent, but an abusive parent that looks for every opportunity to go upside your head. I can relate to that as a child. And so it was hard for me to move God out of that position of critic and judge and fault finder and accept him as the benevolent God who, when you ask for wisdom, will give it to you without finding fault or judging or criticizing. If I knew that, I would have been a better father. And I don't think I was a bad dad in comparison, but I wasn't a father like God. But I was like a father that I thought God was. I know what I'm saying right now is deep. It's like it has a lot of weight. If I was a father, if God was always too busy, if I had a father who was always too busy to spend time with me, and he worked all the time, but he never was there when I actually needed him, then when I say God is my father, that's what I relate to. Being a physically abused child, I wasn't sexually abused, but physically beat up a lot. My interpretation of God for the longest time was God beats you up. And he's nice sometime, and he'll do nice things with you sometime if you walk a chalk line and you don't make any mistake. But the moment you do, you're going to get popped upside your face. That was what I expected God to be for a very long time. So God was always, when I ever thought about the presence of God, I thought about that. And people don't want to admit or own up to that, but that's a very real reality. If your father was neglectful, then you think God as neglectful, right? Well, he's none of the above. So for me, I had to put in first position, God, you love of my soul, you care about me. And then not just care about me whenever you see me, like a distant parent or a distant relative, but you're a God that's my friend. So now that brings you close to home. That brings you around me regularly. That means we speak regularly. I can come see you, just pop in, and there's no problem. You're my friend. Best friend, it's different. Okay. I didn't plan to, I stayed on that longer than I planned to. But what I'm trying to say is, as we go forward in these messages, I want you to ask yourself, what manner of God is in first position in your life? Because we know about Jehovah Jireh and Jehovah Rapha and Jehovah Sikkenu. We have all these names and we reach for them. Listen to me close when things go wrong. So if my knees are being met, well, God, he's Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Jireh. And you're trying to like almost summons up some kind of sense. You know, he's Jehovah Rapha because you need to be healed. But God, my friend, has all these abilities. And when his friend needs him, they kick right in. Do I need to explain that? You get that? If God is my friend, then when I call on my friend with a need, I don't have to keep trying to name all the different names. I already know that that's the names of my friend, my father, and my friend. And so because my friend has what I need, my friend provides. So when God gives the story about the person going next door to the neighbor and knocking on the door in the middle of the night, it's not even a friend, but you got a need. And that friend finally said, fine, I'm going to go ahead and give you what you need. And these are the kind of things that God talked about, being persistent. Being persistent in what? Not in begging God, from my perspective. You can do what you want, but God is my friend. And my friend cares about me, and I can tell my friend whatever my situation is, and my friend will step in to help. And if my friend has the provision, my friend will take care of that need. Okay. So let's talk about now the Holy Spirit as the guide. God is my friend. The Holy Spirit, to me, becomes the guideline to friendship. What is the guideline to friendship? Well, we covered a lot of it in God as a Friend. This is what required of you. This is what required of God. And covered the natural. We try to cover the spiritual. But what we want to talk about now is just the sense of how the Holy Spirit now works to decipher who we are, where we are, for us to understand how God moves through us and in us, and how God expects us to be in the place with him where we make right judgments or thoughts based on his Spirit, right? So if we take all of the stuff we covered about God and the friendship of God and what's required of us and what he gives us more than what he asks for and all of the phenomenal things, there's got to be a roadmap, right? There's got to be a way that God discerns our motivation when we walk with him. This may sound a little convoluted up front, but you'll get it as I begin to read. So in Hebrews chapter 4, I want to start at verse 11, and I want to then read and let that explain as much as it can just through the word. We don't have to go there, but in Psalms 95, verses 7 and 8, it says, I believe, if I'm quoting it right, in the day of God's anointing or calling, harden not your heart. I look it up, and if you find it, you can put it, Celine, in the chat. Harden not your heart. And he was saying, in the day of his presence or his calling or his leading, don't harden your heart. Please don't harden your heart. And I was looking at it from that perspective of, God, you do call on me. You do ask things of me. You do expect of things of me, which we've covered. But then it became this reality. But when you do call me, I can harden my heart. And how many of you would agree that we don't want to harden our heart when God is calling on us? One hand? Okay. Yeah. We don't want to do it. Sometimes we do. But I want us to be sharp enough to catch ourselves when we're moving into that zone and come on back to where God wants us. So starting at Hebrews 4, starting at verse 11 said, let us therefore make every effort to enter into the rest of God, to know and experience it for ourselves. so that no one will fall by following the same example of the disobedient as those who died in the wilderness. Read that again. Let us make every effort, say every effort, to enter that rest. So God is saying to us, let's make every effort to come to a place of rest. I don't know about you, but that sounds real good to me. It's the rest of God and to know and experience it for ourselves. Let us all make every effort to enter to the rest of God and to know it and experience it for ourselves so that you will not fall by following the same example of the disobedient as those who died in the wilderness. So, rest is the opposite of disobedience. I want you to take this in. See, when I go down these roads for your, I'm taking you somewhere. I never would look at rest as an opposition or the opposite of disobedience. But right here, what I took from this, if you listen close, let us make every effort to enter into the rest and to know that rest for ourselves experientially. Who would say amen to that? He said, so that you won't fall by following the example of disobedience. So he's saying following the example of disobedience comes from you not being in the place of rest. See, I never saw that before. And when God said, listen to the Spirit, be sensitive to the Spirit, pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is saying. You're getting caught up in stuff that's emotional, or stuff that flags you right away, or something that moves you right in the moment. Are you listening to me? And he said, the way you don't fall the route of the disobedient is that you do everything in your possible, in your that's possible within yourself to enter into the place of rest. Oh my God, please hear what I'm saying to you today, okay? What the Holy Spirit is saying. Rest, or the lack thereof, the opposite of rest is probably fatigue, anxiety, right? Frustration. And he said, and those kind of things will put you into the place that you will make the decisions that the disobedient make. It's right there. I never heard it preached in my life, but I saw it. Isn't it when you're anxious or when you're walking in fear that you begin to do the things that go against God's instruction in your life? Isn't it when it looks like things are not coming together the way you want them to that you decide to push God out the seat and take it? So he said, make every effort to enter that rest and to know it by experience. Wow. So that you will not fall by following the example of disobedience. So I become disobedient when I'm not at the place of rest. I think I beat that in enough. I'm sure I'll be spinning back to it, but I want to put that in to your heart. This is a place of spirit that you enter into where even when it doesn't look right or feel right to my flesh, I can still say, but in my spirit, I rest. In my spirit, God, my flesh is screaming at me, or my senses around me are going crazy, but I've made every possible effort in my life continually to enter in that place where I just go, well, I can't do it, so it got to be you. I can't fix it, so it got to be you. I don't know what to do, so I'm going to have to lean on my friend. And this is why I went started by laying that foundation of a friendship first. Come on, saints. Makes me know my friend got me. When I don't have it, my friend does. I'm going to make every effort to stay in this place of rest because I'm covered by my friend. Watch this. For the word of God is living and active and full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. Read it again. For the word of God, this is how you enter into the rest, is alive, it's living, it's active and full of power. For the word of God is alive, is living, is active, and is full of power. For the word of God is alive. Emotions are not. What are you talking about? Yeah, they are. No, they're not. They're sporadic. They hit you and they make you do stuff and then they desert you. Come on. People spending their life in jail because something happened emotionally and they responded out of it. And while the cops was taking them away in handcuffs and they're crying, oh my God, what did I do? And the emotion's like, I ain't got nothing to do with that. I'm out. You know what I'm saying? You're on your own now. You worked that out. I got out of you what I needed to get out of you that moment, but now you on your own. They're not alive. They're things that just pop up and then they're gone. But the word is alive, it's active, it's operating. You flow in the flow of the word. Not only does the word of God redeem and restore and remove obstacles, whatever, its presence and its function is everlasting to everlasting. It doesn't go away. It's the staying power. That's the rest you're going to enter into. I know if I'm getting a little deep, you're just going to have to bear with me because this is an eye-opener for me that I'm seeing and I'm resting in. And somebody did something yesterday at the market and Nelly was upset by it because she was just rude and disrespectful. I checked her, but then for the rest of the day, I just said, I'm not going to focus on her. So as we're leaving and Nelly started talking about it and I was like, screw that lady. And she said, yeah, but she said, screw her. I didn't say that. I said F up. I didn't say the curse word, but I said the letter. And I said, F that lady. I don't want to talk about it. Right? Just drop it. Drop the subject. And God said, okay, that's the right attitude of dropping it, but the wrong approach to dropping it. Okay? You don't want to drop it like that. That's emotional. We want you to drop it from the point of, let's just let it go, and let's enter back to the place of rest. And there's the difference. I was dropping it. I was moving on. I was moving on into my peace, but by saying, screw her. And God was like, okay, yeah, well, we don't want to cuss people either, but we do want you to take the right attitude and move on and drop the subject and not carry it around. Are you with me? So it's a place of rest that God was demanding me to go to, and I knew I needed to rest, and I know we couldn't rest, Nelly or I, if we kept talking about what she did and how wrong she was. So I had to say, I need to release the emotion of this and I need to focus on the peace. And the peace, God allowed me to step into the forget her to, okay, but that still comes with a hostile tone. I want you to say, forget that and forget her and leave it alone from a restful place. Enter into this rest. Stay with me. Because the word of God is living. And the moment that I took that living part of it, the anger and stuff subsided in me immediately. The even feeling wronged disappeared. Are you listening to me? The fact that the person was wrong and what they did was wrong even left me. Basically, it took no substance anymore. And therefore, it had no longer a part inside of me. And that rest took its place in me. I don't know who needs to hear this today, but if this is a blessing to you, just say amen or give me a thumbs up or whatever you need to do, because this here will change my life. And I believe it'll change yours because it's the word. For the word of God is living, it's active, and it's full of power, making it operative, energizing, effective. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of soul and spirit, the completeness of a person, and of both joints and marrow, the deepest part of our nature, exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of the heart. Now, I'm going to read that again. And I'm going to go slower, and I want you to listen to every word I'm saying. For it is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of soul and spirit, the completeness of a person, and both joints and marrow, the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of the heart. Let me now rock with this. The Holy Spirit is like a two-edged sword, and The King James says, dividing the narrow asunder between soul and spirits, the joints, marrow. Are you listening to me close? You ready? Are you ready? I never really saw this like I saw it this time. The Holy Spirit is like a two-edged sword, dividing the narrow asunder of soul and spirit. Stay with me. Somebody say narrow asunder. Now, what is the way it breaks it down here is it's trying to make it clearer. So I'm going to help you understand what God helped me see. The separation between soul and spirit is as narrow as the marrow between your bones. It's so close. Your soul and spirit are so close that the only thing that separates them is, if you know what marrow is, it's like a liquid between your bones to keep them moist and keep them from rubbing and scratching at each other. But your soul and your spirit are so close that you cannot decide which one is which. There's a narrow asunder at times you think you're operating out your spirit and it's not, and it's your soul and vice versa. And the only thing that can separate the two is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in like a thin sword and says, like a razor blade, and separates. Nope, that goes here and that goes there. And that's what the entering into that rest is about. Saying you cannot make this judgment with your mind. You cannot make this judgment with your emotions. You cannot separate which is one. I've had so many people to me strongly believe they're led by God and everything they're doing goes wrong or everything they're doing falls apart. Why? Because they have gotten their feelings and their emotions, especially through church, so caught up into the things of the spirit that they think that if it feels good and it makes you want to jump around and dance and cry and shed tears, that must be the Holy Ghost. And he said, no, 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 no. There's a narrow, like bone marrow, separation between soul and spirit. And if you can't judge which is which, you will constantly think you're hearing God and you'll be doing everything that's your flesh. Come on, this would be a good place in the church where people would start clapping, right? This is that kind of word right there. This is that kind of wake up and smell the coffee word, right? He's saying it's sharper than you're penetrating the division between soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Even your joints is narrow between one joint to another. They're so close to each other. Like I said, the only thing that separates them is bone marrow. What is being said today and being told to you by the word of God today is, well, how do you get the separation? Well, it's the word. Yeah, but if I'm reading the word, well, you must then endeavor with all your heart to enter into a restful place where you be still until this word separates or the Holy Spirit separates your feelings from his leading. And it's not a one-time job, it's an ongoing job. Who's bearing witness with this today? Who's saying this is a blessing and I'm receiving it? And this is what God is saying to me. He said, you said, forget this woman, but you were doing the right thing, but where was your spirit? You were offended, and you were grieved by that person. So even though you took the right steps, I had to come in with the spirit and say, good job, son, but let's reframe where this is coming from. You make decisions in life and business and everything you do because emotions are high and it feels good and everything feels right about it. Must be God. And God says, okay, but now in this season, you're going to learn the Holy Spirit's leading. You're going to sit down and say, it feels right. Everything looks right. It looks perfect. Everything looks, sounds right. And does everything seem to be everything I wanted and prayed for? Now let me be quiet and be still. To excitement is gone and the Holy Spirit alone is speaking. I'm gonna say it one more time. To excitement is gone and the Holy Spirit alone is speaking. I'm gonna say it one more time. I'm gonna be still. I'm gonna be quiet, even though everything feels and sounds good. To excitement is gone, or fear is gone, or anxiety is gone, and all these emotions are gone, and then I'll wait. I learned this from the Holy Spirit a long time ago, and I see it now in a different way. He said to me, when you be watching TV at night and they put all these poor kids up there or sick animals and eyes of a stranger and then they're playing the sad music and, you know, just for a cup of coffee, You cheap son of a B. If you really loved kids and cared about them, you could take the money that you spend every day on a cup of coffee and help these kids, right? And you feel like, that's true. I'm living here. And God will say to me, write down the number, put it on the side, turn the TV off, wait 3 or 4 days, go look at the number again. And if you still feel a lead in, then do it. But do not do it because the moment is hitting you. And that's what good salespeople do. They'll get you to commit to something that you are not able to even afford or pay because they ride your emotions. So when I'm talking to anybody and they're trying to do a deal, well, yeah, let me sit with this a minute. I'm going to say, well, today's your last chance. You don't get another after the day is all gone. I said, well, then I guess it ain't mine. And have a nice day. No, I'm just trying to say, you know, it's coming fast. I said, listen, you don't rush me or push me to make any decision. And if you do, you're the devil. I mean, I say that to them, but that's what I'm saying. You're the devil because you're trying to make me make a hasty decision based off of some emotional bull crap that I'm not involved in or into, period. So based on that, we're done. I don't do deals like that. I don't make decisions like that. I don't want to make, I want to sit down. I want to be still. Even if I'm doing this, making a decision that works out to my benefit, I'm learning to stop and say, but is it time to do it now? Is now the time? It feels right. It sounds right. It makes sense to me. But Lord, what say you? And sometimes that answer is not quickly coming. Not because God is slow to answer you, but because you haven't entered a place of rest yet where you can hear him. Whose heart am I blessing today? All I need to do is stop sometime and say, God, I just need to know. I just need to know that it's you. Come on, God. Answer me, God. God, I'm praying, God. I'm seeking you, Lord. God, guide me, Lord. Lead me. Lead me, Lord. Hallelujah. And God was like, oh, none of that's rest. None of that's rest. All of that is still emotion, hype, trying to hear me through going crazy in so-called what you call in spirituality, and that narrowest Sunday has not been crossed. You ain't got quiet yet. You ever pray with people and they never shut up? They go from talking to praying in tongue loud to talking loud again and shouting and dancing, and then they'll have the music blasting in the room. I don't even want to pray. I don't like praying with people like that. I'm like, do you ever shut up? So you can hear what he's saying back to you. Like, you doing all the talking. He got the answers. Why are you doing all the talking? Get still. Get quiet. Into that place of rest. Well, what does that place of rest look like? It looks like this. If it goes the way I want or not, I'm good. If you say it's mine or you say it's never mine, I'm good. If you say it's going to be this week or 5 years from now, I'm good. I just want to be in the place that I'm sensitive to what your spirit is doing. When it comes to wealth and finances, people get beat the beep up on that. When it comes for women believing for husbands, OMG, the devil will beat your behind with this anxiety. It's got to happen. It's got to happen now. When's it going to happen? I don't know. Oh, my God. I've been waiting. Oh, look, now this person got married. And oh, that one got married. Well, where's my... Well, you don't know what's going on in their house. Just because they come outside and smile, you don't know what's going on. A lot of you had no idea what's going on in mine. So my point is, you can't look at other people and be wishing for... You has got to be quiet and be in that place of rest in the Holy Spirit. Let us therefore make every effort to enter into that rest. So now we go back to that verse and it makes sense. Make every effort. Do everything in your power. If you're going to be any kind of anxious, be anxious to get to that place of rest, because that's where you need to be. Because once you're there, then the word of the living God will operate active, full of power, energizing and effective, and divide the narrow asunder in the joints and marrow between what's in your soul and what's in your spirit. And the fact that they cross over each other and pollute one another in your heart and your life and in your mind is why we run into so many problems, because we don't know the difference. But they're close. And it's very easy to think you're listening to the spirit when you're listening to your emotions. And it's very easy. And there's times you guys will come to me about something, and I will challenge you to the end on it. Push you to the wall, right? Okay, did you pray about it? Yeah, but and then you start explaining. Okay, you're explaining. Yeah, then this ain't God. What do you mean? Because if it's God, you don't explain to me why it should be done. You say to me, my spirit, I prayed, I went before God, and I have a peace in my soul. This is what I'm supposed to do. But how does that logically make sense? Yeah, it doesn't logically make sense. It doesn't. But I just know in my heart that's what I'm supposed to do. Have I ever done that to any of you? Every single one of you that's ever come to me with something, right? I'm going to push you till I hear you stop giving me an explanation. Once you stop giving the explanation, then I believe you. Go for it. But as long as you can explain it and break down every detail, why it makes sense financially, logically, why he must be the one, like she got to be the one because this and that. And I came in, I prayed to God that they have a flower in their hair, and they walked up and they had a flower in their hair. It must be God. Okay, no, that's not the reason that you make this decision. You be still and you say, I don't care if they came with 10 flowers in the hair. Satan heard your prayer too. He heard it. He imitates the things of God. He hears it. So I get quiet, I get still, and I wait, and I wait, and I wait. I'm going to say this, and I hope I don't put my sweetheart on the spot. Nellie came to me with May. We get married. And that's why when I made the video, I was like, well, I guess about May. And Kwame responded, yo, bro, just make the move. Like, stop saying maybe. It's like, I got to wait and get quiet till I hear the Holy Spirit say it. It sounded great to me. It sounded great. I have a problem. I already gave her the ring. Let's do it. Let's go. Let's get married. Let's do the thing. You know what I'm saying? Let's do the husband and wife thing. Let's make it happen. You know what I'm talking about? I'm gonna be respectful because it's... Okay? You know what I'm saying? Come on. Come on, man. Come on, Cletus. Like, come on. Like... and God said, be quiet. God, everything makes sense. I mean, you had me get the apartment. Yeah, it all makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah, you had me move and get it. Yeah, okay. And she got a room. And yeah. Okay, so he's not quiet yet. So I had to go to her and say, I didn't get a green light, so I'm not moving. Sounds like a great concept, is great. But it could be next May. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. When God told me to get the ring, I got the ring. When he told me to get the ring, I didn't move. I didn't look. I didn't shop. And when it was time, the woman wound up sitting right next to me in the class that I was taking and got me the phenomenal price that I got and everything. What am I saying? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, divides the narrow asunder. And you're going to be led by the Spirit as you forcefully enter into the place of rest. Rest is the key ingredient to hearing God. Rest is the key ingredient to being led by God. And it takes some time for you to sit down and say, everything makes sense. Everything is logical. Everything looks right. It's now or never. Okay, I'm not at rest yet. It ain't now or never with God unless he tells me it's now or never. I'm asking you guys in this season and time to make every effort to enter into that place of rest. Every anxiety and everything that's pressing on you right now, let it go. Back away. Take a deep breath. Dry your tears. Release the frustration. Get the word of God in front of you and make a decision. I will not move until I have total peace in my spirit and total leading from your spirit. If you do that, you're on the road. And yeah, you're going to have to go back there and make yourself on each situation, walk through that same process. Let me enter into the rest right now, because I know I'm not resting. And as I close, I'm going to ask this question. How many of you be honest right now and say that word right now is the word for me? I needed to hear that. That I've been really back and forth between this and calm and this and calm. And let me tell you something. You know you got it when you start to see things manifest. Nelly says to me all the time, it's just amazing how you just hear God and then you just do things and it just works. And I always say to her, only when I get quiet and I get still and I shut up my emotions. And that's why God answers me quicker, because I already learned the principle. Shut the rest of the world up so you can hear God. That's the principle. There's no other principle. That's the one that I've learned to do, and that's the one I hold on to. And I'm fighting and fighting and fighting to get better and better and better at it. And sometimes when I'm being still, God puts a mirror in front of me and I go, oh, well, I'm going to look at that. He said, no, look at it, because that's the you that need to change right now. Whew. Dad, just when I thought I was okay, he said, son, your walk to okay is step by step. So be mindful, be open, be alive, be awake. But ending where we started, let us therefore make every effort to enter into the rest of God, to know it and experience it for ourselves, so that no one will fall by following the same example of the disobedient, those who died in the wilderness. Did God ask you for something? You obey that something, and he pours out the answers and blessings in abundance. So, may the word that you heard bring God's blessings to you. Amen.